Some are, and some were. Some who are here this morning were here almost 43 years ago, when on May 31st, 1972, I was ordained and installed as pastor of this congregation. Some who are here today were here on July 8, 1977, when the congregation began worshiping in this building. Some who are here today were here on October 7th, 1977, when we celebrated this congregation's 100th year of existence. Some who are here today were here on October 19th, 2002, when we celebrated 125 years of service to the Lord Jesus Christ in this community. Well, we're not here this morning to go down memory lane and determine who are here today that were here days, weeks, and months and years ago. We are here together to look at God's Word and consider this matter, some are and some were, as we turn our attention to the sixth chapter of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And if you would find verse 9 in your Bible or the Bible there in the pew, it's on page, 911? That sound right? No. What is it?
195.
Oh, that's right, 195. Okay. So you found it. Very good. Now let's listen to what the Lord has to say through the Apostle Paul to the saints, to the church at Corinth, in this chapter that begins with a chastisement. Chastisement for the saints at Corinth who, instead of coming together with believers to settle an issue, they had gone before the unrighteous instead of saints. Now verses 9 through 11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate, it's in the Greek, but the ESV hasn't put it in, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers, will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Thus far, the reading of God's Word. Amen. If I were to ask each one of you here this morning, with the raising of your hand, how many of you desire the kingdom of God? Now, I'm sure everyone, at least I pray, desires indeed to enjoy the kingdom of God. But what do we mean? What do we mean when we use those four words, the kingdom of God? I'm sure there are many thoughts that come to your mind as we think about the kingdom of God. Let's see if this resonates with you. God's kingdom is that place where God's laws are obeyed because God's character would set the template for the citizens of his kingdom. The kingdom of God indeed is that place where God's laws are obeyed because God's character would set forth the template the citizens of his kingdom would follow. Do you agree? Can we at least come together on that definition of the kingdom of God? And so how many of you want to reflect? How many of you truly want to reflect the character of God perfectly or faithfully? And again, my prayer is that every one of us would raise our hands. As we continue to consider what's meant by this matter of the kingdom of God, you notice that the Apostle Paul has a word before that word, kingdom of God. He uses the word inherit. An inheritance is something that is given to us. I'm sure that there are some of us here this morning who have inherited something because a relative of yours died and you were in that relative's will and you therefore inherited something. But what had to happen before you inherited that from your relative? Well, that relative had to die. So the sense of the kingdom and inherit. Somebody had to die for this kingdom indeed to be inherited. And we want to look at that. The kingdom is that place where God's laws are obeyed perfectly and faithfully. And because he uses this word inherit, there are commentators who would speak about the idea of the kingdom of God as meaning heaven. And again, all of us, I'm sure, look forward to inheriting heaven. And because of that, they direct our attention to the third petition of that pattern of prayer that Jesus Christ taught his disciples there in Matthew 6. You know that third petition, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, the fact that Jesus teaches us to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, implies, does it not, that his will is not always perfectly done here on earth as it is in heaven. And of course, we know why his will is not perfectly done here on earth as it is in heaven, because sin has entered this world. We all know that in Adam and his first wife, we were all represented there in the garden. And what happened? Well, Eve was tempted, wasn't she? The devil said, don't you want to be like God? Now, I sometimes wonder, how many times might our first parents have heard, you've been created, what? In my image. Right? Our first parents were told by their maker, you bear my image, you're in my likeness, you are like me. And what does the devil do? Don't you want to be like God? Wouldn't we have hoped? I already am. But there was that sense in them, wasn't there? Oh, like God. I can determine what's right and wrong for myself. I don't need to live by the words that come from his mouth. I can decide what's right and wrong. I can decide the desires of my flesh. I can do what I want. Yeah, I want that. Now, again, I don't need to have our hands go up, do I? But how many of you remember back long enough in your childhood to know that that's exactly the way you were? Yeah, I'll do what Dad and Mom say as long as I want to do what Dad and Mom say. If I don't want to do what Dad and Mom say, I'm not going to do what Dad and Mom say because I'm the measure of all reality. And that's what we teach our children, isn't it? Look at my nice little child. And what? Our whole life revolves around that baby. Child becomes the center of attraction. Child becomes goo-gooed and gaga'd over. And that's all great. But pretty soon we learn as children, yeah, I am most important, and yeah, I should get what I want, and we continue to grow up. And instead of living every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, what tends to direct our lives? Our lives are marked by a lack of conformity unto the Word of God and breaking of His commandments day in and day out. Sin has entered this world, and we confess that we are sinners. We don't live according to every word that proceeded from that. We may say, as the Israelites did after God gave those 10 words on Mount Sinai and after Moses reiterates those there in Deuteronomy, we might say, we'll do whatever you say. We want life to go well with us. But let's confess. It's not long before God's no longer number one in our lives. We really do worship and serve that trinity of fallen man, me, myself, and I. Do you want to inherit the kingdom of God? Well, our passage very clearly tells us that there are those who will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul tells us the kind of person who will not inherit the kingdom of God. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? And how does he define the unrighteous? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. That's quite a list, isn't it? Listen to what Paul gives as a list in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 19 through 21. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Then he goes on and he gives this poignant warning. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. How many people go to Romans 1 because of what happened in our courts relative to marriage? How many go to Romans 1 and say, look at this, this giving over to homosexuality? Romans 29 through 32 of Romans 1 gives this list. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice, envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness, gossips, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. They don't only do them, but they give approval of those who practice them. Why do I cite these lists of unrighteousness? Well, there are many reasons one might think of, but one is to convince each and every one of us that when we hear this list, I think we can all identify with at least one of those sins mentioned, that we almost find ourselves so caught in that sin that at the end of the day, it really identifies us. And so we fall prey to the practice of the world's solutions to addicts. If you go to one of the world's solutions to addicts, an AA meeting or an NA meeting or a GA meeting, or you just put in whatever sin and call it anonymous, what do you do? I'm Bruce Bakenstow, and I'm a what? I'm a gossip. I'm a disobedient to my parents. I envy. I like a good fight. Divisions in my blood. I want what I want when I want it. Indeed, every one of us here this morning who is a human being, fallen in Adam, born dead in our trespasses and sin. We are, by birth, what we read there in this passage, aren't we? And if I ended the sermon here, we all would leave recognizing there is no hope whatsoever of inheriting the kingdom of God. In fact, when you get right down to it, there's no way that that petition that Jesus taught us to pray can ever become true. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why? Because we're sinners. But praise God, that's only the first half of the sermon. And it's still only 5 minutes till 11. See how time stops when you're having a good time? That's not where Paul ends, is it? And such were some of you, and such were, if you were Ted Donnelly, some of you. But that great little three-letter word that we so love to find in the Bible, but. Because when we find that word, but, generally find the good news, the gospel follows. Some of you are, but some of you were. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. Praise God for but. I already mentioned, didn't I? That if you've inherited, you've inherited because someone died. How is it that some of us once were unrighteous? According to the way that we found the scriptures describing unrighteousness, but are no longer that way. No longer described that way. How's that so? Because we were washed. Because we were sanctified. Because we were justified. Something happened to us. The Apostle Paul is the only New Testament writer who uses the word translated washed. He uses it here in our text, but he also used it before the tribune in Acts 22:16. There Paul is testifying before the tribune, and there he shares his conversion experience. And here's what Ananias said to him and what Paul says to the tribune. Ananias said, "Brother Saul, receive your sight." You remember the story of him on the Damascus Road. "The God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now why do you wait? Rise, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on his name." What would happen when Jews or anyone who heard the gospel as it was proclaimed by Peter on that Pentecost day, 10 days after Jesus' ascension? Repentant believers in the Lord Jesus Christ would be baptized along with their household. And what did baptism represent as it was called for by Peter? The 3,000 who responded to Peter's sermon were baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. They were washed of their sins. You who were baptized, your sins were washed away. Praise God for that cleansing that happens in baptism. Now, that doesn't mean that when you were baptized as an infant, that your sins were washed away and it's up to you to keep a clean slate. No, 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 no. We've come out of the Roman Church. We're part of the Reformation. But we make good our baptism as we grow up in those covenant homes and we begin to take hold of the gospel that our parents lay before us day by day at home and then each Lord's Day on the Lord's Day as we gather for worship and we say, yes, Jesus is mine. And he said so when my parents had me baptized. And I make good that promise. And I want to go and I want to sit down with the elders of this congregation and I want to tell them how I love Jesus because he loved me and gave himself for me. How I love Jesus and I've placed my faith, which is a gift from him, in his person and work for me. And I want to come to that table. I want to come to commune with the people of God at the Lord's Supper. And we who've done that understand exactly what's being said here. We were washed when we were baptized. Next he says, we were sanctified. We were sanctified. Sanctification is not rooted in baptism. Baptism is the evidence of sanctification. So what does sanctification mean? It literally means to be set apart. That's why we find Paul, when he writes to the church, he calls us saints, holy ones. You ever come to grips with that? Yes, we're sinners. But Paul doesn't write to us sinners in Corinth, sinners in Ephesus, saints, holy ones. Because you've been set apart. And Jesus is the one who prays in John 17:17, doesn't he? Father, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And the them refers to all the Father has given to Jesus, for whom he lays down his life. So we're not surprised when the writer of the Hebrews in chapter 10 and verse 10 tells us that because Jesus did his Father's will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And then in verse 14, for by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. We were washed. We were sanctified. And because we are sanctified by the work of God, we then are called to sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts so that we are always ready to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Because you were sanctified, Christ is sanctified in your heart so that when you have opportunity, people come up and say, why you live such a hopeful life? What's that? How many people have had somebody come up to you and say, you're such a hopeful person. I want to know what makes you so hopeful. Well, R.C. Sproul's the one that said, I've never had anybody do that for me. So you're in good company. But brothers and sisters, when you listen to the rhetoric between people who are vying to go to the White House, oh, dee-dodie. And instead of, oh, dee-dodie, where's our hope? George Scipione got up at the beginning of one of the conferences that he was speaking and said, I've got good news and bad news. The bad news is we're getting more and more like Rome in the time of Jesus. And the good news is we're getting more and more like Rome in the time of Jesus. This is what happened in 325. Well, that's another sermon. But Christ has sanctified as Lord in our hearts so that we have a hopeful life, and the hope that we have, people will see and they'll say, what are you all hyped up about? It's about Jesus and what he's done for me, the sinner that I am. And if there's hope of everlasting life for me, there's hope in the world today. And you were justified. You were justified. Because Jesus Christ, the righteous one, took upon himself our unrighteousness and bore the wrath of God that God says in Psalm 5:5 he has for all workers of iniquity. As our sin was imputed to him, as he hung on that cross, taking the wrath that we deserved, so that in Christ we might be justified as his righteousness is imputed to us. And we're righteous now in Christ, who is our righteousness. We who lived a life of rebellion now live a life of faith by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we were washed, sanctified, and justified. Since it's still 5 to 11, now Paul wrote to the Corinthians, some are and some were. Which defines you? Are you present tense are? Or past tense, were. I'm not so naive to think that everyone here is a were. I'm sure there are some who would identify with the are group. You are still dead in your trespasses of sin. You still indulge in sexual immorality and idolatry and adultery and being effeminate and being homosexual and being a thief and being greedy, a drunkard, a reviler, a swindler. But you know, if the Holy Spirit is convicting you of that this morning, that you are in that group, then cry out to God now. Be merciful to me, the sinner I am. I have confidence now in Jesus and Jesus alone, who laid down his life for me, and I need that life. Father, forgive me. And make Jesus my Lord. And I encourage you not to finish this day. If you know, if you stood up in the world system for addicts, hi, I'm Bruce Bacenstowe, and I'm identified by my gossip. You won't inherit the kingdom of God. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us know about it. And for all of the rest of us, who by God's grace know that we were justified, We were declared righteous, not because of anything we've done, but solely because of what is done for us. If we indeed know we're set apart, that we are sanctified by the grace of God, we know that we have been baptized. We were washed by the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's indeed continue to refer to ourselves as Christians. And let's show forth that we now are in Christ Jesus because of what we were before Christ Jesus, dead in our trespasses and sin, so that we no longer are what we were. We now are those who have been washed, sanctified, and justified. May we be those of the were group, and may the world know it to the praise of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want indeed our lives to reflect life in heaven, where your character is manifested through us, because indeed we delight in your word. It is our meditation day and night. We've hidden it in our hearts that we might not sin against you. But more than that, because Jesus is Lord of our lives, reigning in our hearts, we have hope. And may our lives reflect that, the praise and glory of your name, such that people would want to know why we are the way we are, so that we are able to speak up as we have opportunity. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.